Life in Jiu-Jitsu is the official podcast of ESAC BJJ, your host, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy. Whether you're an expert-level practitioner or just getting started, there's a place for everybody at ESAC BJJ, where we believe in Jiu-Jitsu for everybody. That means you learn at your own pace, and we harbor a positive and inclusive environment so that everybody feels welcome to come and foster the art. Come make new friends, learn self-defense, and get in shape too at ESAC BJJ. More information at ESACBJJ.com. See you there. Boom, we're live. What's up, you filthy animals? It's another episode of Life in Jiu-Jitsu. Of course, I'm your host, Jibran Maciel. We're here with Mitchell, don't call it a comeback, Torres.
That's great.
You took a little time off. What's it, 20 days?
Yeah, 20 days.
What's doesn't seem like totally important in the course of human affairs, but right. Nonetheless significant to you, right? You're just telling me how hard it is to get back into it.
Huge for me. It's like that cardio, you know, that rolling cardio, it goes away. You start learning how to breathe again when you get back on the mats, and everybody's younger than me, and they're already a couple of steps ahead of me, so that's rough.
Yeah, what took you away?
It's vacation, man.
Yeah, where'd you go?
New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, shit.
New Orleans, so it's just booze and food, you know?
Little Louisiana.
Oh, I love it there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. The home of Cash Money Records.
Oh, yeah, dude. I love that stuff.
Did you do any voodoo and shit down there?
Nah.
Dude, they get down with that crazy
shit. That was the last trip we went down there. Went to all that voodoo stuff to the, what's that lady's name? Madam, whatever, that voodoo queen went to her grave last time we went. But yeah, nothing. Just eating and drinking, man.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, wait, let me make sure that this comment stream is on. I see we got one person with us. Can you leave a comment so I know the comment stream is on? This YouTube shit is new to me. let's see here. I think the comment stream should be on. Mitchell, while I do this, talk to us a little bit about just your background in grappling. Did you grow up wrestling,
judo? Oh, actually, no. I grew up doing nothing at all. You know, didn't even go to school much.
Yeah. That lazy piece of shit.
Skinny piece of shit. Not doing nothing.
Yeah, who is that? Who is that over there?
I have no idea. I got my glasses on and I can't see shit.
Nah, it's okay. We'll figure it out. Okay, so go ahead.
All right, yeah, no, didn't do anything. Harley went to school. My dad boxed. My brother wrestled. So
you Latino, right?
Yeah.
Mexican?
Yeah, Mexican.
So I feel like boxing tends to be more like the... Like if you're, because you know, when I was growing up, you know, Mexican also, right. My dad was always like, "You want to learn to fight? You got to box."
Right.
He's like, "Don't give me that gay shit rolling around on the ground." Because right. I grew up wrestling.
Yeah.
I grew up wrestling, you know, and it was always like, "No, if you want to learn to fight, you got to box." You know, because it's like Cesar Chavez, De La Hoya, yeah. You know.
Yeah, you know, my dad wasn't really like that too much. He wasn't too into. He did want everybody to box, but he wasn't too like nationalist when it came to boxing. You know. Yeah. He was a Mike Tyson fan, you know, but then again, he's not your typical Mexican-American. He's like second generation already, living in the Bay Area with property, you know, so it's not the same.
Yeah.
And he's more like a cowboy, not a ranchero Mexican, more like a cowboy Mexican, you know, kind of a little different.
What does that mean?
How can I say it?
He had the truck, but he wasn't really using it.
Well, yeah, no, he was a mechanic, but he's not like... Texas Mexican, you know, like
okay,
the, yeah. So yeah. There is a difference.
No, you know? I get that. Yeah, a little more educated, a little more.
Yeah, he grew up working on tractors and stuff like that. Actual farm work, you know.
And then
my brother wrestled, so I'd wrestle with him, and he was actually have me go against my cousins all the time. Did my dad put the gloves on me? And then it just evolved from there.
Yeah. When did you get into jiu-jitsu?
Late.
You're 39 now.
Yeah.
And you've been rolling for what, 6 years?
No, man, I've been rolling longer. I got my blue belt in 2011.
Oh shit!
Yeah. So
I thought you got into it more recently for some reason.
No, well, not really. So I started out doing no-gi because where I lived in a small town, there was no jiu-jitsu. It was we're training to because we wanted to fight, you know. And I found out that didn't work out too good right away for me, you know. I was already older at that time, you know. So I think I was my mid-20s. Started doing like little smokers. Yeah, so that's where it started, and then just getting out grappled. Then once I actually put on a gi, I got bit, and plus it's like, oh man, I saved my hands and everything, you know. So so that's pretty much it.
Yeah, the gi changes everything, man. I remember as a wrestler coming into jiu-jitsu, but I mean, you know, I was an 8-year wrestler high school and college,
right?
when I came, I just didn't believe in the gi at all, and really to my detriment. And I really had to learn the hard way, because like Neho, you know, if you're listening, or some of the other folks that are out there that kind of started with me under Andre, I'd be like, well, you grab onto the gi like this and it holds me down, my whole posture. No way, dog. What if I just fucking posture real strong? Right. Fuck that. You mean to tell me his little hand's going to hold my whole neck and my body? No way. And so I would just be like, argh! You know, all the time, just, you know, just trying to prove to myself that like the, you know, and that the wrestling fundamentals of position were more powerful than the grips of the gi.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, in a way I feel like I did over time, like the positional fundamentals, I think. The fundamentals of position are still reign supreme over grips, I think.
Right.
But you need to put it in context of like, no, the grips will still fuck you up if you don't deal with them.
Oh yeah.
You know,
for sure. Yeah.
Like you can't just ignore that shit.
Yeah.
You
know? Try not to let no one grab first.
Yeah. You know, and dude, there's some people like, you know, my buddy Mikey Hothi. Mm-hmm. Do you know Mikey?
Oh, yeah, I've met him a few times.
Dude, he's the man, dude.
Oh yeah, he's super good, man.
He's super good. Yeah. He's the man. But you know, when he grabs a hold of your collar, it's like, it's just stuck there, dude.
Right.
It's a fucking ongoing concern. He's just, you know, it's there until he decides to let go. Yeah. You know, and that's a freaking problem. So I actually approach him like this sometimes. Seriously, I approach him like I stretch my arm out.
Right.
So that my gi like bends over my elbow.
So and it's a little tighter already.
Yeah, there's nothing to grab there, you know? So then he kind of has to like wrestle me like there a little bit. And I tend to do a little bit better like that. If I can force him into a wrestling match with me, I'll do a little bit better, but I mean, I'm not ashamed to say that motherfucker takes my back and taps me like all the time.
You know?
But it's the knowledge of the gi, right?
Right.
So, okay. So how old were you when you started?
Oh shoot, man. So I think when I first put the gi on, I had to be 27, I think. No. Yeah. 27. Cause I got married when I was 27. So that's when I put the gi on. Before that, I was just training no gi at random gyms and striking. And then I got my first dose of real jiu-jitsu at Scott Savage Jiu-Jitsu in Las Vegas. And
oh, cool.
And even then,
they were just in town, weren't they? The Savage brothers?
Well,
Chad Savage.
I don't know. I'm not sure if that's the same people.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if they're the same people. Yeah. Okay. Scott Savage was a coalition guy for a while.
Okay. Okay.
And so that was the first instructor that got me into jiu-jitsu. At the time he was a brown belt, but he was mopping people. And so it was him and there was no one else, you know, it was like him and everybody was new to jiu-jitsu in that time. So I was getting away with just being kind of good at like no gi grappling. So I didn't really use too many gis, too much grips.
Yeah.
Until everybody started catching up. And then I was like playing catch up with those guys, you know? So it was a little different. Like I didn't go into a school where there's already higher belts.
Yeah.
I went to a school where everybody was beginning at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, kind of like what's going on with ESAC BJJ right now. I mean,
oh yeah, exactly.
All my students actually, except for Jason Roberts, Jason, man, dude, I can't tell you how much I appreciate Jason, man. He had a kid and he didn't come for like 3 months because he had a kid, a boy. There was never any, hey, can I not pay my bill?
Right.
There's never any like, hey, can we freeze it? There's never any like, oh, well, maybe I'll go train somewhere closer to my house. No, I mean, that fucking guy believed in me.
That's good, you know? Man.
And he helps me with the white belts.
Nice.
You know, and he's always just like so stoked. He brings like the best attitude. He blew up, man. I had to ask him. I had to sit him down and ask him, like, dude, who got pregnant? You or your wife? Man, because he's fucking 265 pounds.
Oh, now. Shit.
No, you know, he was a little bit smaller and I was a little bit bigger at one point. And so we like were roughly the same size at one point, or maybe he was like a little bit bigger than me. So now it's just like he's fucking way big.
And how
like,
long did he put on that weight?
During the pregnancy.
Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. I know. He was already like 220 or something, 230. Oh, wow. So there was like the 9 month pregnancy. Jason, I hope you don't mind me talking out of school here. It's like the 9 month pregnancy and then like 3 months, but he's working hard, man. He like his gi is just drenched in sweat after practice. He stays afterwards. Nice. And we do like a, after every practice, I run a strength circuit for people that want to stay. Mm-hmm. And after every practice, I do like open mat for 30 minutes,
at least
like, nice. You know, cause the way I see it is like, when I'm in the teaching jiu-jitsu, like, you know, so I think who asked me, I think it was my wife or someone in the family was like, so what's your plan, you know, for growing the business? And I was like, well, my plan is I show up on time every day and I teach my heart out. I stay afterwards and you know, open mat. And if you need help with this or whatever, like I'm in the, let me help you out business, you know?
Right.
And I just believe it'll grow. That's my plan. But man, Jason stays afterwards. He brings the best fucking positivity to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, one of these guys that kind of like kind of blew up in weight and then came back down. But also just one of, you know, my one blue belt in my academy, just like you said, everyone else, I got 25 white belts.
Damn.
25 white belts and brown belt myself, you know? And so my white belts are like, well, you know, I don't know. It's really cool. I wish I could like roll with a purple belt or a blue belt. It's like, yeah, no, that is good. I mean, don't want to lie to you. That's certainly very necessary, but think about it this way. You have two training modes. If you're rolling with, you know, upper belts all the time, your defense is going to get really good.
Right. Right.
Like, but you're not really going to put it together any offense.
Mm-hmm.
And we know in jiu-jitsu, so many of these moves relate to each other. So like, if you don't get the arm bar, you can go for the triangle. If you don't get the triangle, you can go for the omoplata. And so if you're just always getting smashed by an upper belt and you can't throw up offense of your own to stop their chain, then they're just going to go off on you.
Right.
And you're just surviving. You know, it's actually not as fun.
Is it hard to have white belts rolling against white belts constantly?
You know, I have
really. Because some white belts go hard.
Yeah.
They go hard, man. I can't imagine trying to keep an eye on all of them.
I've had to discipline some of them. My white belt Kelvin, man, I was like, I had him. I like, dude, Kelvin shows up to my 6 a.m. and he shows up to my 6 p.m.
Oh, shit. 2 days.
Kelvin. Nice. Kelvin Martinez. He's a good kid. He's just not very smart. Kelvin, I'm just kidding. But I trusted him to roll lightly with my wife.
Oh, man.
And what, he immediately chokes around and sends her like coughing off the mat. And, you know. And then Haley was like, dude, I think he did that on purpose. I was like, oh, baby, I've never seen anybody really hurt somebody on purpose. You
right.
know? In my 17 years of grappling, I've never seen anybody really hurt somebody on purpose.
That's good.
And she's like, no, fuck it. He did it on purpose. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to smush him on Thursday when I see him next, you know. But, you know, I think he didn't realize his own strength. So there was a little bit of that. He's 20.
Okay, yeah.
You know, but he's actually the only one. I think he was just excited that day. And that's really the only issue we've ever really had. If I look through like the roster of my students,
mm-hmm.
I have like Logan Bowler, you know, he's like a 42-year-old guy. He's got a PhD educated. He's a, you know, researcher for the Community College Foundation. And, you know, he is head of the household, the single bread earner, head of the family.
Wow.
And, you know, kind of in all of his projects at work, everything is kind of as he likes it, you know? So for him to like swallow the humility pill and come in to get his ass beat, you know, at 40, at 42, you know what I mean? And so I think he's bringing like a mental maturity to it that is, you know, that is commensurate to his life experience, you know? Same thing with my other student, Darren, who, again, I trusted him to roll with Haley. And hey, like after they were done rolling, Haley was like, man, Darren's a fucking really good guy. Like I didn't really try to tap him. He didn't really try to tap me. We just flowed through the positions. She was like, that was a pleasure. Like, what a guy.
Right.
You know, man, we got a guy who's into the Michael Passmore. He's in the caviar game.
Wow. That's
80% of the caviar in the United States is made down in Herald, just down here, down the road.
Right.
Oh, in Gaunt.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so he's a fish farmer.
That's pretty cool. Because
he bought a plot of land that wasn't worth shit. And so he's like, fuck, nothing, you know, I can't fucking grow anything here. So he dug a hole and put some fish in it. And now he's like heavy.
What kind of fish is it that's giving out caviar?
There's a certain type of fish for the caviar, but he also does sturgeon and he's got a bunch of holes in the ground now.
For sushi, the little eggs. That's a type of caviar, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard a majority of that is fake.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I heard it's not real. I heard it's like a textured something. I'm not sure.
Mikey Passmore, you're being called out, brother. We got to find out.
Yeah, because I like to eat the poke bowls.
Yeah.
I would ask for that stuff. But then I found out, like, that might not even be real. So it's kind of weird. Shit. I think it's just like.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. Yeah, he's at the point now where, like, if you get a fancy fish in Sacramento, like, if you sit down somewhere and order a nice fish, it probably came from him.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
We got Garrett. Garrett's actually Michael Quigley's students, but he drops in with me, and he's a purple belt. He's the owner of the Shady Lady Bar.
Okay.
And he's kind of just an industry figurehead here in Sacramento. Haley, my wife's stem cell scientist. Then we got like four or five, you know, Sac State students. who were just savages, man. We got this kid, Chaz. Chaz is our resident SoundCloud rapper.
Oh, he's a rapper.
Yeah, he makes beats.
Oh, cool.
But they're pretty good, man. Actually, I've actually, because he added me on Instagram, he had like his little song. I was like, oh shit, this isn't too bad, actually. You know,
what kind of rap is it?
You know, it's just, I've just listened to some of the beats. Is like the beats are good.
Okay.
It's really just what I listen to. Some of the beats that he's put together. And then Esmeralda is like a 19-year-old Nicaraguan girl. She's friends with Calvin. You know, Calvin is like my student who can't control himself. But she's a student. She's really tiny. She's like even tinier than my wife. But, you know, I told her, okay, you got to just focus on guillotines and triangles and rear naked chokes, because you're not going to armbar someone unless they're your own size. Like, you're really small. So we got to get you right on someone's neck, you know? And what do you know? She shows up at 6 a.m. too.
Oh, wow.
You know? So it's a really diverse group. I don't think anyone's trying to go pro.
Right.
You know, but they're all trying to, like, I think, learn a little bit about themselves, just like learn some legit skills for self-defense, then kind of enjoy the journey, you know?
Right, right.
So we don't have anybody who's too spaz, you know? Oh my God, Ashwin and Jeremy, you know, Ashwin has heart, man. You can't fucking teach heart, dude. He has a little bit of like never tap,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
You know, but, and then you see him get banged up and she was like, well, yeah, dude, you know, but you can't teach that level of heart. So I'm kind of not too mad at it. I kind of want to
appreciate it.
Yeah. I kind of want to let him bloom a little bit. You know what I mean? And then my buddy, Jeremy, a social friend, came in. He was a wrestler, and this motherfucker, man, he's like 5'7", you know, 5'8", 220 pounds.
Oh, just, shit, just a bulldog.
Just a bulldog, man. You know, I mean, you know, he gets on top of you. If he gets on top of anybody, it's a problem.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he's wise. He's a business owner. He's just been around the block, you know, United States Navy veteran, fucking great guy. You know, I've never seen him go too hard, or, you know.
Right.
And I have a rule. It's like, anyone going too hard has to roll with me.
And it doesn't take too long for someone to figure out how it works, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes just being on the mat, like, for after 2 months, you start learning the what's the etiquette of the mat.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I mean, this is what I say. And maybe you can tell me what Cassio says, but I stop everyone and say, here's the number one rule of rolling. Be better friends afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if you're rolling with someone who's smaller and they get hurt, it doesn't matter what happened. It's mm-hmm. your fault.
Right.
Again, if you're rolling with someone smaller and they get hurt, it doesn't actually matter what happened.
Right.
It's your fault. Three, if you fuck someone up, you're going with me.
That's pretty good, man.
You know, but everyone's been super cool, man. Everyone's been super cool, super humble.
Yeah.
You know, I've never had anything like really pop off. But then you think about like kind of like the ritual of the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practice, and it kind of makes more sense, because as everyone's getting better and everyone's like, some of these guys are making serious time commitments, you know, like I think about my, you know, my student Logan, you know, or any of my students with families, like that's time that he's missing dinner time with his family, right. You know? So yeah. I feel like I have to really give honor to that and really be present and not just kind of run through the motions, you know, but, you know, he's making a serious time commitment. So he wants to get, so then gradually the sparring gets a little harder,
right,
and harder,
right.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, Darren, good looking young guy, professional, you know, lives in Midtown, probably has a ton of social commitments. He's making time, you know, and they both want to fucking get out, you know, so gradually you see it going harder and harder.
Right.
And then I realized like, oh, that's why everyone lines up at the end and brings it in for the little hug, you know,
because
no matter what, you still have to be friends afterwards,
right.
You know? So, yeah, I don't know. Did you feel like you kind of, do you feel like in better control? I mean, I'm sure you do, but.
Were you
like a white belt spaz, or
you know what? Okay, that's a funny thing. I don't think I ever was. I think because when I first started training, I was already getting my ass whooped, you know, because jiu-jitsu came later.
Yeah.
So I was already getting.
You came into it with some wisdom.
Yeah, like, yeah, that, exactly. That's what it was.
Yeah.
But then, I know what it felt like to get my ass whooped, so I never wanted to put someone else in that situation.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So like I'd roll with people, and that's probably one of my biggest issues is rolling. I don't want to say light, but maybe just to giving too much away, you know, and I think I'm getting better at that lately, yeah, I mean, but the way I see it too, like with Cassio and cause I train with Cassio, Darren and Daniel. So three different instructors throughout the week, you know, and I don't really see, I mean, I think everybody knows they select a partner wisely.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get into with certain people. And I think, cause there is a lot of people.
Yeah.
They start upgrading themselves naturally.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so yeah. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Because man, there's sometimes I have to upgrade in the role and like, shit, I don't want to do this. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, quick shout out to Larry T and Juan Diz.
Oh shit, that's my homie right there.
Juan Diz.
Seek one, Juan D. Yeah.
Yeah, Juan Diz nuts.
He's a rapper, dude.
Juan Dizzle, no shit.
Yeah, that dude is sick. Homie from way back.
No shit.
Yeah.
Super cool.
He trains too. He's a white belt, but he's been training for a while. But he jumped from school to school because he moved from Modesto to the Valley.
Okay, cool, cool. Where's he at now?
He's in Los Baños right now.
Los Baños. Where is that? Is that Bay Area?
No, Central Valley between between Fresno, San Jose. He's like right in the center.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So between Fresno and San Jose, but kind of almost going towards the Bay.
Right, yeah.
Got it. There's some pretty areas out there, actually.
Yeah, after you get like...
deep.
Yeah, there it is. That's nice. But yeah, that place is... That's where I grew up.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Shit, okay. Very cool. Juan, thanks for joining us, brother. Larry, you're the best, man. You know, another thing that I do is I pair them up. I tell them who they're rolling with.
Right. Yeah.
So, like... oh, that fucking generator. Okay, hopefully people don't have to hear that too much. I tell them who they're rolling with. So, like, I know Ashwin likes to roll pretty hard, and Gabe likes to roll pretty hard. And so I'll tell, like, Ashwin and Gabe, you guys are going. Logan and Darren, you guys are going. You know, the two girls, you guys are going. And then after everyone has, like a couple of pretty hard rolls, you know, in them, and they're, like, maybe ready. Like, when someone's ready for a break.
Right.
I'll be like, don't take a break. Roll with, you know, Allie.
Yeah.
And go easy.
Right.
And just go through the motions, you know. And so I think that's really helped, too, is, like, someone's like, okay, hey, I need you to roll with Haley, and I'm fucking watching you because that's my wife. I need you to roll with Esmeralda, and I'm watching you because she's, like, 90 pounds. Yeah. But you just got two or three hard rolls, and you're otherwise ready for a break. But now we're using this as a training tool, right? Like, can you control yourself? So,
yeah, Casio, we don't really have white belts. We're almost white belts.
Really?
Yeah, we really don't. I mean, unless it's a fundamental class and there's really no choice. But, yeah, man, and I think, like, not taking a break is good. You know, like, just try to roll straight. Even though
I take breaks myself. My guys take breaks.
It's probably better you don't, you know.
Yeah. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you taking
breaks? Exactly. Yeah, I even tell people don't take a break sometimes. But I'm guilty of it myself. Like, I need a break.
Yeah. You that's interesting. No white belts wrong with white belts. Figure out how I feel about that.
You know what? It could be a thing about the size of the class too.
Yeah,
and it's hard to keep an eye on everybody.
Yeah,
and if two white belts are going at each other hard, I mean that's probably a high risk situation. You know, it could be. And plus, you know, like some people, this are all over the place. It could be a high risk situation. Probably other people that are rolling. You know.
Yeah.
I've had my not with Castle, but in other gyms, I've had my leg rolled over because I'm standing up with someone that's a little bit better. So we're doing stand up.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, I have some couple of spasms rolling my way and my leg is taken out. There goes my knee or my ankle.
Yeah.
You know,
that's one of the other things is we start pretty much all rolls from standing.
Right.
All. You know, my personal belief is jitsu without rep. I mean, just look at Max Holloway and you're an MMA guy. Folks, if you want a good fight breakdown, actually, the Combat Conversation is not a bad resource, dude. You do a good job with those.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. You do a really good job with those. Keep doing them.
It's
hard to stay on top of it, right?
Dude, I'm telling you right now, this last 2 weeks, it was too many, man. And I was trying to catch up. And then even with the combat jiu-jitsu I was watching yesterday, audio was so shitty that I had to turn it down. So
yeah, dude. Did you watch the trials? The ADCC trials?
No, I didn't watch them, man.
Fuck, dude.
I heard it was crazy.
There's levels to this shit, man.
Right.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think I'd be competitive in those brackets. You know, I don't think I'd, you know, maybe I'd win a match. I don't know. But it's kind of crazy, you know, like when you watch the combat, it's all, leg locks aside, it's all triangles and arm bars. It's all the same shit.
Yesterday,
still,
you know? Brandon Moreno, he's from Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
He was slapping the shit out of people, man. He was smacking. I mean, he went crazy, but then a lot of people got caught in triangles.
Yeah.
Like you would have believed.
Like this, right?
They're getting caught left and right.
Yeah.
Myself, I think I seen like four triangles happen. And then, then Brandon Moreno just running. I think he lost the finals, but he was putting in a lot of effort.
Yeah. What I was going to say was I feel like jiu-jitsu without wrestling is like almost no jiu-jitsu at all. So probably about a third of our curriculum is wrestling.
Right.
So we do like 20 minutes, like 15 minutes standing work every class.
Okay.
I have them all start standing. But, you know, one of the things that I kind of feel passionate about is like telling my folks is like, you know, a couple things here. One, this is not a fundamentally dangerous activity. So, you know, I know some folks say like white belt and white belt. okay, maybe you get hurt. And, you know, that's a good, you know, that's certainly the chances are higher. Certainly the chances are higher. But, you know, I feel uncomfortable like propagating that narrative out into the ether for fear that people absorb that and begin to think to themselves that jiu-jitsu is a fundamentally dangerous activity.
Right.
And I'll tell you that when I got my my business insurance for the year, Markel Insurance, you know, to get $1 million of insurance running a jiu-jitsu academy was $800 for the year.
That's not bad at all.
No, because it's not fucking dangerous.
Right.
You're on a foam mat. You know, these people have jobs. They're not professional athletes. You know, right. it's like dad jitsu. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, I try to tell my guys, like, you know, you're not made out of glass. You know, you're not made out of glass. You're all going to, you know, I stopped my guys one time and I was like, all right, guys, you know, damage report. Mm-hmm. You know, Darren's got a fucked up neck. Chaz's wrist is fucked up. Jay's wrist is fucked up. Everyone's got bumps and bruises, but we haven't seen any torn ACLs. We haven't seen, no one's got their neck broken.
Right.
Everyone's okay, right? Like, yeah, you got bumps and bruises. Hey, but everyone's going to make it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't want to say it. Like, I don't want to speak for Cassio and say that's the reason why.
No, no. Dude,
I'm just thinking.
No, let me be clear. Cassio knows more about this shit than I do. Yeah. I mean, Cassio's the man. So.
Yeah.
What are you dealing with right now, injury-wise?
Just my knee, my thumb. But that's just because I'm old and falling apart. You know what I'm saying? And finally, you know?
Yeah. Do you do any weightlifting to keep it all current?
I do kettlebells. That's about it. But it's my own system of kettlebells. I figured out works for me and some bands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
you do it at home?
I do it at home. Yeah. I wake up in the morning. That's the first thing I do. Do some cardio.
Shit.
You
do that like before the coffee?
Yeah, before the coffee. I do it all before the coffee. Then I drink. Lately, I haven't been drinking coffee. I'm drinking Bang energy drinks, you know. And that's been like curbing my appetite. It gets me to lunch, you know, because I don't eat until like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, you know.
But you wake up at 5?
Yeah. No, I wake up at 4.
Damn.
Yeah, you know, I probably go to bed at like 11:30 too.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. That's just the way
it is. You feel okay?
I don't know any other way to feel because I've been doing it for so long, you know. Oh, even with all my other jobs, I've always woke up early and trained at
night.
It's
just your lifestyle. Yeah. You look good. You look fresh.
I think the vacation made me look fresh. I look worn out 2 weeks ago, man. Believe me.
Okay. So what do you do with the kettlebells?
I just do like lunges, some racks, some Turkish get-ups, you know, some swings. Nothing too much. Just so because I feel it like in my – if I don't do it, I feel it in my back and my shoulders because I tore my rotator cuff like maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
So I don't – that's why I really don't do too many weights.
Yeah.
But I do that for my core and all that stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, that's about it. Just add some bands. It's all quick, you know.
Do you feel like sore in your muscles after you do that, or do you just feel kind of like built up?
I feel built up. I never feel sore really.
Yeah, you don't like that sore feeling.
Well, because I know that if I'm gonna go to class in the evening, I know more than likely I'm gonna feel that shit. You know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come beat up and everything, so I try to just do enough to get me through all these classes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
so that's pretty much it. Plus, my job's physical sometimes. Like, I never know what I'm going to do.
Right?
Yeah, I'm an electrician.
Like, but you guys are like the princes of the construction site, right? Like, I got a brother-in-law who's IBEW, and he was just like, these other guys on the construction site are dogs.
You know, I don't want to talk shit because I don't know what's going on, you know.
Like, these other guys are dogs. We're the only ones that can actually read plans.
Oh, I don't know, man. I'll keep my opinions to myself.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, I mean, sometimes my job's hard, sometimes it's not, you know.
It's more physical.
The last couple of weeks has been physical. We've been pulling tons of wire, and if I'm feeding like
pulling wires, physical.
Yeah, man, because they're on big, big rolls. You know, so like maybe 750 feet on each one.
Oh,
and
shit.
And then so they're pulling it. So you're pulling it, and it's getting heavier. And we have like 8 rolls. You know, so we're pulling and pulling. And so it's all grips and forearms, man. And sometimes if I'm pulling on the other side, it's all quads, man.
Yeah,
and hamstrings.
Your legs.
Yeah. So man, yeah, sometimes it's physical.
No shit.
Yeah. A lot of people don't ever see that part. They just see us like putting in sockets, outlets, you know?
Yeah, I always thought it was kind of...
No, it depends. At the end, it's easy. In the beginning, it's hard, you know? Mm-hmm. Like setting the foundation and then just doing prep work at the end.
Yeah. How'd you get into that?
My neighbor, he owned a business. When we first moved to Roseville, my neighbor, he owned his own business. We talked. He's like, you want a job? I said, yeah, I was looking for a job. I just got in town anyway, you know?
Okay,
so
cool.
That's it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Hey, for folks listening, there might be a little bit of background noise. I live in a hotel. The hotel has a backup generator in case of an emergency or something. And that's what you're hearing running now. They're recharging the batteries or something. I didn't realize this was the schedule. We're going to try and figure out when they do this you know, I don't even know if they can hear. I'll listen to it afterwards.
Right.
But yeah, it's so funny how like a lot of these like things just happen kind of happenstance, right?
Yeah.
Like I remember when I was growing up, my my best friend's dad was an architect, mm-hmm. Ross and Reed Burnett. And they would kind of hire the kids and the kids' friends to do some light demolition work. It was kind of fun, you know, and he was trying to teach us about hard work. And over time, he pretty like quickly discovered that I had like a talent for like yard work.
Right.
Go some, you know, go figure, Mexican kid, you know. And, you know, he like the dad and I kind of developed like a better and better relationship over time. And mm-hmm. he was like recommending me to his friends. And he was, you know, my dad was like, man, you know, like this guy's like a pretty prominent architect here in town. He's got all these like, you know, well-to-do friends. You should like, you know, I'll help you buy a truck. And then you get a couple friends. And before you know it, you got your own little landscaping company, right. You know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh fuck, maybe I should do that. You know? And, I'd probably be fucking rich if I'd done that, actually.
Like, hey, man, those companies blow up.
Yeah, dude, because no one wants to do it.
Yeah.
No one wants to fucking do it. Yeah, I didn't want to do it. I went to, you know, I was like, nah, I'm good surfing. Well, no, I wanted to go to school, but I should have just stayed and done it because I actually enjoyed it.
You're right. You know, man. I mean, all those trades that, okay, so I don't want to get off subject, but all these trades now.
It's like, you know what? Let me address something. I posted something kind of controversial about a week ago. And people are like, why are you even talk about this? It's a jiu-jitsu podcast. No, it's not. It's life and jiu-jitsu. And if you don't like it, frankly, you can eat my ass. But yeah, there's no such thing as off subject.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so I was on the job site and I was seeing like, and there's no young guys. It's all older dudes, you know?
That's a problem.
But in every single trade, there's no young people doing these jobs because everybody wants to go to school.
So do you feel like there's someone coming up under you, like in your trade?
Probably not. That's going to take over. There's people probably doing the job.
Yeah.
For the meantime.
Kind of knuckle.
Yeah. So, but in a sense, maybe it's good for me that this job's going to be so high in demand because no one could freaking do it.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go to school or get out of school, then go back to school and not do the work. I mean, these lights don't turn themselves on, you know? You might be able to pay the bills, but these lights aren't turning themselves on in the future, you know? That's something I don't see. I don't see young people doing these jobs. And I don't know what makes it look so bad. It's like, man, this is
it's not bad. Yeah. You seem like a respectable guy to me, right? You live in Roseville?
Yeah,
that's a nice suburb.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. But you know, like what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I know what you mean too. And it's actually, those are going to be some of the hardest jobs to automate too.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, so crazy, like air conditioning repair person, mm-hmm. like the ducts and figuring out and then doing like the work with your hands and kind of, you know, that's never going to get automated, mm-hmm. at least not anytime soon.
No,
you
know what I mean? It's almost impossible.
Yeah, probably what you do too. I mean, they said that like with all the robotics sophistication that they have right now,
right?
They can't get a robot to reach into a pocket and grab keys just because they can't do the fingers.
Yeah,
they can't,
exactly. Yeah.
So when it comes to like pulling wire or installing like a receptacle, you know, they just don't have.
Well, just in general, just no way. If you have to look at the whole plan from the beginning of the whole job, what it takes to build a job.
Yeah.
It has to be done manually. It's impossible because everybody's already bitching about pricing. Mm. Everybody's making bids because it's too much. It's too. It's just you can't get it cheap. It is what it is. Someone has to physically do it. You know.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, I just trip out that there's no young men willing to do this job, and they'd rather be Batistas at 35 years old, you know, and going to school. It's like you're 35 years old going to school. By the time you get out of school, you're going to be fucking 45 years old, you know?
Yeah. What the fuck are you
now?
Doing?
What now? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I have, there's nothing wrong with going to school as long as you have a clear plan.
Yeah.
Just don't keep going back to school to go back to school.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That's just me, you know?
No. I really feel that way too. Like, man, in a weird way, and I hate to say it because I'm Mexican. Mm-hmm. In a weird way, I feel like immigration kind of fucked up our views on physical labor.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know,
they're taking our jobs.
Not only they're taking, I mean, man, dude, people come here to work and, you know, people come up, people like decent people come here to work. Right. But I can't point to anybody in the immigration cycle and say you're a bad person.
Right.
However, the whole system, I think, is immoral. Mm-hmm. OK, because what's going on here is we're trying to provide good working wages for our people.
Right.
But at the same time, a bunch of people who are starved of opportunity come in and say, hey, I'll do it for cheaper.
Right.
right? And they're not, you know, we're not wrong for wanting to provide for our people, and new people aren't wrong for trying to get in the party, mm-hmm. right? And so they come in and they break their backs. And what's going on is that, like, you know, like if you look in the 1950s or the 1960s, you had to be like fucking Rockefeller. You had to be like a serious baller to have someone mowing your lawn. Mm-hmm. You used to mow your own lawn.
Yeah, exactly.
If you watch like Mad Men, you know, that old, I don't know if you watched
that. Yeah, I know you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, they lived in a really modest house. They lived in a house not too much bigger than this place. Mm-hmm. And he was like an advertising executive in New York City. He had a little house. He, you know, he drove a car that other people drove. And like the neighborhood had all sorts of different, like just, there wasn't just all this lavishness. You right. know what I mean? And so when we imported, when we brought in a bunch of unskilled laborers, like all of a sudden the American middle class is living like fucking kings. And right. by which I mean is that you have other people do your labor. Mm-hmm. And there's no way that you can have other people do all of your physical labor and then send them home afterwards
right.
and not look down on them a little bit.
Right.
You know, there's just no, because not like, oh, look, like, why don't you stay here and let me help you? No, you do my physical labor and then you leave. There's no way that you can do that without looking down on them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is that now no one wants to do their own labor themselves.
Right.
You know, and like these jobs, there's fucking decency in being an electrician. When the light, remember that thing I posted on Instagram where like the lights went out of my house?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, fuck, somebody come fucking help me because I sure as fuck can't do this, you right. know? And my buddy Rob Roy, fucking God bless you, Rob. He spent like 30 hours at my home trying to turn these lights back mm-hmm. on. And it like the light went off in my house. Like, fuck, dude. Like, this is some desert island shit. Like, if I was on a desert island or if the lights went, like, this is the fucking guy almost as much as a doctor.
Right.
You want someone that can turn the fucking lights on. I don't want a barista, you know? I don't want a fucking, you know, a coder. No, I need someone that can turn the fucking lights on.
Right. Yeah, you know? I can't lie to myself. Like, I'd rather call people to get shit done around my house, but my wife keeps me honest, you know? Like, no, you could do that, you know? Because her dad's a hardworking dude, you know? So she's like, no, my dad would have done that. If she says my dad could do that, I'm like, shit, here I go on YouTube trying to figure out how to fix that problem. You know?
Oh, my God, dude, I hate to say, I fuck up all my projects, dude. I fuck up every single project. I tried to paint my car one time.
Oh, shit, that's a project, though.
Dude, at the time, I had gone out and sought like an Adderall prescription.
Okay.
Like recreationally. And so for those of you listening, Adderall is like it's basically an amphetamine meant for ADHD. And I just got really into focusing on one thing. And I got into this fender bender. And I was like, fuck it, I'll bet you I can paint this thing myself.
Damn it. How old are you?
What? This was just a few years ago.
Oh, man.
This was just a few years ago. And so I tarped off Haley's garage. Mm-hmm. And I was breaking bad in there, like popping Adderall.
You're on a hot one, bro.
Yeah, I was on a hot one, dude. I was in there popping Adderall and fucking like sanding the fucking car down and like taping it off. And then at the end, I fucked up the spray gun and it came out all looking like terrible,
damn
dude.
It.
Terrible. It was like an embarrassment.
Damn it.
But that's why I try not to do my own projects. But some things I try. I built a fence in my house and I felt really good about that.
That's hard, too.
Yeah.
That's hard. Yeah, it's hard.
But you know, I couldn't imagine having a fucking physical, like a really physically taxing job and then coming into role afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these guys I know are like roofers.
Yeah. Oh, that's a hard job.
Fuck,
too.
Man.
It's a shitty, hard job, man.
It's a shitty.
Because you're on the sun, you're on the roof, and the sun just beating on your, you're on the cold, getting frostbite from the wind. You know, it's hard. It's hard, all.
Especially in Sacramento in the summer.
But you know, I feel like rolling makes my job easier too. In the same way, like maybe my job makes jujitsu easier. Jujitsu mm-hmm. makes my job easier too. Kind of like it goes hand in hand. Plus, I'm constantly moving throughout the whole day. The whole day, I'm freaking moving until I go to bed. Then I'm up again, I'm keeping my blood going. Man, I'm telling you, I think it's keeping me young. I think it is, man. I see dudes that pop up like on my Facebook or on Instagram. That
that's true.
Like, damn, that's that dude I went to school with. He looks like shit. It's crazy.
No, but dude, that's fucking dude. I mean, you know, these girls, you know, I saw this meme. It's like you see an Instagram model in real person. It's like, damn, girl, you don't look like 200 likes.
Damn, that's a good one.
But no, you know, it's true. I was working in the Capitol.
Right.
I was working in the Capitol for like 6 years, and I felt like I was good at the substantive. I was good at the work, but I wasn't so good at the schmoozing. Mm-hmm. Which is weird because I feel like I'm such a charming guy. But I just wasn't good at the schmoozing, and I wasn't good at the kind of social game, which is okay. I'm really happy with where I'm at now. But I look, you know, Haley sat me down because I was at a consulting company and it just wasn't working. I wasn't a good fit. Like I didn't believe in them. And she's like, oh God, you know, you spent like a year for this elected official. Then you spent a year, you know, working for this other elected official. And now you're at this consulting company for 6 months and, you know, you, obviously they suck. You don't want to do it. She's like, well, you've always said you wanted to teach jujitsu, right? That was always the goal, right? You learn enough jujitsu at night to teach one day. You've always said you always wanted to do that. So you want to teach jujitsu and do a podcast. I was like, yeah, you know, that's a dream. She's like, okay, well, why don't you fucking teach jujitsu and do a podcast? Like,
right.
She's like, let's go, you know? You know, that's the beauty of being, right? You know, she believed in me in a time when no one else would, you know? But now I look back and now I'm consulting and producing podcasts for other folks.
Right.
You know, the ESAC BJJ has replaced a significant portion of the income that I lost.
Nice.
The consulting has replaced the other portion of the income that I lost. So I'm back to my old salary.
Right.
But I'm working for myself now.
Yeah.
But I look back, you know, so I was always like, oh man, I gotta go get this job in politics. I gotta go get that job in politics. And I look back like on Facebook, just like you said, at these people that did get those jobs. And I'm like, man, as they get more successful, their ass gets bigger. Like their ass gets bigger and they get more and more out of shape. I'm just like, fuck. And she's like, yeah, you should be glad you didn't like stay. I was like, yeah, shit, I think you're right.
Hey, the office job is the hardest job I've ever had. Man.
It's impossible. Dude, like,
my back was always going out. I did
back in your pride.
Exactly. I was doing a purchase. I guess the term is I was a buyer for Monterey mushrooms. So I would do all the orders. Nah, just regular mushrooms. But I would just do all the ordering. Sit on a computer, do POs. Man, I felt like shit.
Purchase orders?
Yeah, purchase orders. I felt like shit for like 3 years. I just sat there. When the economy crashed, cause I was a trim carpenter before that. So I went from trim carpentry, which is like in custom homes doing crown molding.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
It was cool. It also sucks though, man.
Why?
Sawdust everywhere, you know.
Oh, are you breathing it in?
I mean, you cannot, you know. It's everywhere. And so I went from doing that to sitting behind a computer, and I'm computer illiterate, man. I suck. I can't even use my phone, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm putting in orders that people are taking classes for, and I'm doing it like, man, like one finger typing and shit, you know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I started doing that. I felt like shit.
That wasn't a good fit.
Yeah, it wasn't a good fit at all, man.
How long did you do that for?
Like 3 years, until the economy started picking back up.
And you're like, fuck this, I'm going back to...
After that, so from there, actually, yeah, that's when my wife got her job and moved to Atlanta. So I was looking for a job, couldn't find shit in Atlanta. And so I was just training over there and then moved back here. And then that's when I got into electrical work.
Just letting folks know on the stream, we'll take questions now. If you guys want to ask a few questions for Mitchell or God forbid for me. Do you know Jay Probst?
Oh yeah. That's the co-host of the Combat Conversation.
Hey, what's up, brother?
That dude is
how you doing?
He worked for like, he did a...
Dude, that's the thing. Folks on YouTube, upload a little picture, guys. I don't know.
You know, I tried that. It wouldn't let me, man. I tried.
Computer illiterate.
I tried, man. I have a C now. Before it was an M. Now it's a C for Combat Conversation. Yeah, Jason, he was a writer. He worked for, I think, he did some work for Sports Illustrated.
Oh, shit.
He worked for Sherdog. He's a boxing genius.
Yeah.
Man, he watches all the fights. That dude's good, dude. He started training jiu-jitsu when I started at Casio.
Okay.
He signed up about the same time as the white belt. Came in there.
Okay.
No, man, he was horrible. Yeah. Now he's a blue belt. He's like one of my main training partners. Pretty good, dude.
Okay, here. What's his first? Jason?
Jason Probst.
Jason. What's his name?
Probst.
Jason says, tell us the story of Mitchell being targeted in Atlanta.
Targeted? I'm not even sure about that.
Is that Cali blue belt?
Oh, that's just getting people. Man, that was hard, dude.
People putting hits out on you?
Dude, as soon as I got there, I didn't even sign up yet. The guy's like, can we roll? I'm like, I didn't even sign up yet, dude. And I was out of shape and fat, man. It was hard.
This guy signed the waiver?
Yeah, it was so hard, man. Luckily, there's some good people there that, like, you know, like that understood what was going on, you know, because I was eating fast food. Just, you know, it was horrible, man.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Well, there's always the thing, right? It's like when you show up to a new dojo.
Oh, dude.
And, especially as a colored belt,
yeah.
And there's other colored belts there.
The hunger, man.
There's some hunger there. Yeah. You know, I had one student of mine tell me, like, hey, you know, I went to another class, you know, because I do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
I don't teach every day. I teach Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
Which is why it's only $75 a month. It's cheaper because I'm not there all the time.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, you know, I went to, like, he's like, on a Monday, I dropped in somewhere else. And he was like, I was kind of like, I was surprised. I was doing well against, he's a white belt. He's like, I was doing well against their blue belts. you know, but there's like that hunger to
You know what it is too? Is that like, this hunger, right? In my mind, especially going like, I've trained at a lot of different places from moving so much that I figured out like, this is what I've seen. They don't know if I'm going to come back. Mm-hmm. They see someone going there with a belt and like, this guy might not come back. I want to see how I'm going to do against him. Like, and then, it. And then they want to tell their instructor like, man, that dude came in here. I fucked him up. You know, they want that, you know, they want that. So I'm like, God, man, what am I going to do? Yeah. There was times when I was in Georgia that I didn't want to get out of my car because I was so beat up, you know, like, well, the only way I get better is by going back in that building, you know? And sure enough, that over time it disappears in this normal class and they get used to seeing you, you know? But those first initial classes were hard for me, man.
No, I get, you know, there's my buddy Ryan Johnson. Ryan, if you're listening, tell me that you heard this story. I mean, he remembers this, but we were, dude, Ryan is the fucking man, dude. I mean, he is a, he's an officer in the United States Navy and a medical doctor.
Okay.
And so he was, I met him at Andre Gladzinski's place. Mm-hmm. And at the time he was an EMT, I think wasn't sure what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And like, it was literally like 7 years ago. He was like, I think I'm going to try this medical school thing and the Army will pay for it. And I just have to give him 4 years.
Damn.
But that was like 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. He majored in history or some other nonsense. So he's like, first I got to go back to school and major in like pre-med, biology, all that shit. So I got to go do 2 years of that on my own. Then I got to get accepted to the medical school. Then I got to get accepted to the Navy.
And he, oh, damn.
And he fought, dude, he did all that, dude. He did the 2 years back to undergrad. And you got to get A's in those classes. You got to get fucking straight A's,
that's
right?
Too much work
for
me. You got
to
get straight
fucking A's in those classes to get accepted to medical school. And I think it's only a network of medical schools that the Navy will take and then pay your ride. So he's in his fourth year of medical school now. He's a United States Navy officer. He's banging puss in Coronado. You know, he's got the white uniform. I mean, he is, I'm sure, you know, but he is, dude, his Tinder pictures, it's like a United States Navy fucking officer. Hilarious. And then a fucking like doctor scrub. I mean, he's cleaning up. He's cleaning up, you know, but he's still got like two more years of like medical school and then residency.
How old is he?
He's like 32.
Okay.
And then he owes the Army six.
Damn.
So yeah, that's a hefty tariff, right?
Yeah.
But you know, when he goes in the Army, he'll be making 100 and some odd grand. And, you know, not the Army, the Navy. The cool thing about the Navy is they always put you on the coast.
Right, right.
You know, but you know, I mean, this guy had a vision and he just went for it, you know, and it's so fucking cool to watch him. Like, cause I'm not doing anything, you know, like the time passed and I, you know, I didn't move forward in my life the way he has, you know?
Well, it's different for different people, the way they see it, you know, it's also the way you look at it. Cause he might look at you and see what you got going on right now. You have an academy, you have two successful podcasts, you know, and you're chilling, you know, you have a nice ass building that you live in, you know?
I'm very chill. So that's true. That's true. He actually does tell me the same thing. He's like, dude, I'm kind of envious of you. I'm like,
it's all perspective of how you live and how you feel yourself. You know?
That's fair. Yeah. But when we were both in Sacramento, we were good buddies. Mm-hmm. He's actually one of the only dudes where it's like he moved away and we stayed in touch and he makes it a point to send me a text. I make it a point to send him a text. We chat online and stuff. But we were in Sacramento. And he's like, hey, let's go over to Half Gracie's in Sacramento, in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to train over there. And there's this really good Mexican restaurant. It's like legendary in the Mission. So we'll make a bro date out of it. We'll go train and then we can go to Half Gracie's. And we can go train at Half's and then we can go get a burrito and we'll come back. But it'll be a nice, you know, morning. I was like, yeah, dude, fuck it. Let's do it. And we got to Half's and I was like a blue belt and he was a purple belt. And I don't know if we walked in like with the wrong expression on our face or if we fucking like, I don't know, if we just didn't follow protocol. Like I thought we were chill. I thought we were cool, man. But oh my God, dude. Like they didn't like something about us. Like I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, but the instructor like smoked us, dude.
Culture for that. What goes on in their gym?
Yeah, no. I mean, he ran this 45 minute warm up that was like 30 inch worms, 30 pull ups, like squat, jump, penetration step, you know, like 100 sit, like it was ridiculous. Like even like all my wrestling years, I'd never seen anything like that, you know. Damn. And the guy was like cussing at us and stuff.
Damn.
And then he was like straight to rolling, fuck you guys. Damn. Like he can come in here and learn from us, fuck you, it's straight to rolling.
Damn, that's hard.
Yeah, like they didn't appreciate, you know. And then the instructor started rolling right with it. He was like a young blue belt, but like he wasn't really a blue belt. Okay. He was like an 18-year-old blue belt who'd been at it for nine years or something like that. But it was just like, holy shit.
Some
like,
of the young dudes, man. You gotta watch out. The young dudes that have color belts at that time.
Yeah. It's like, dude, what do we do to you, man?
Yeah. He just wanted to make an example.
Yeah. Fuck. Well, fucking message received, dude. I've not been back.
Damn it.
I've not been back. All right, here we go. How should schools treat new white belts? Do you think it varies from school to school? What should they do and not do based on your experiences? That's a good question.
I think it depends on that person that's stepping into school too, because it's hard to generalize everybody. Yeah, if you come in there with a shitty attitude, someone should freaking spank you, you know? If you go in there respectful, like the people you're going to roll with are going to know what to do with you, you know?
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
again, I shouldn't even speak on that. Who am I?
No, you've been around for a little while. I think you're allowed to have thoughts. I mean, it's not a cult. You're allowed to have some critical thoughts.
Yeah.
I really agree with that, actually.
Yeah. If someone comes in, first off, if I have to roll someone that's brand new, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're trying to learn and they want to, and plus I want to keep them there for the long run, you know?
Yeah.
If you sign up.
Because then you benefit from that.
Yeah. If you're in Roseville and you sign up, I'm going to add you on social media right away. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, keep coming back.
I feel the same way.
Because I want them to come back, because the more people we get, the better we look in the long run. Yeah. We get better training partners. Everybody keeps growing and getting better, you know? And like, we just recently had this new guy sign up in Roseville. He has a wrestling background, you know?
Yeah. Dude, that's an asset.
Yeah, exactly. So he came in there, I rolled with him, and right off the bat, scooped my legs up. I mean, he's probably been out of shape, passed on me and everything. I was like, okay, here we go. So now I have to start using my jiu-jitsu against him, you know, to let him know what jiu-jitsu is.
You got to really, you got to show him.
Yeah. So then I let him know what it is. Yeah. And I said, come back. You already have a good foundation.
Yeah.
Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Yeah. And I tell him every day, come to class. I mean, with the core guys I work out with, I stay on them, because if I don't stay on them, no one's going to stay on me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I need a sense to keep going too, you know?
Yeah.
So I hope it all works together, that I feel them and they feel me, you know?
Yeah, no,
man,
I agree.
It's easy to stop going, man.
Oh, dude, we had one guy who, I think it's fair for me to share that, you know, I'm not saying, and also I just want to say, like, I think it's fair for me to comment on a story that happened if I'm not sharing any names, okay? I just do, like, I I'm not trying to call attention to anything, but rather, like reflect on the lessons that can be learned here. So I think it's okay if I'm not sharing any names. Anyways. I had a guy come to my school, and he was like really gung-ho about joining, and kind of, I think he had some issues he was looking to overcome, probably some substance abuse issues he was looking to overcome.
Which is common.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dude, we're in the middle of an opioid epidemic.
Exactly.
Right now, that kills more Americans than the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We're in a state of war.
I hate that shit, man.
I fucking hate that shit too. But, you know, he had some substance abuse issues. And he just, I think he fucked up his back or something. And the doctor was like, oh, well, here, you need some painkillers. And then, boom, lost him.
Yeah. That's how it happens a lot.
That's how it happens. Yeah. You know, and some other stuff. He had some, you know, some family stuff. And, but, you know, there's a couple things going on there. Like, you talk about how everyone brings different baggage into it, you know, mm-hmm. and there, like, for me as an instructor, there's some levels of comfort and some levels of discomfort,
right?
You know, like when I had one guy call me, and this is a different guy, mm-hmm. okay, but he called me on the phone number, and he's like, hey man, you know, I've been struggling with mental illness and anxiety and social, you know, and I'm like 42 years old and I just never really found my calling in life, and I want to change my life. He wanted to talk to me for like an hour, and I was like, hey dude, we practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 6:30, I'll see you there, you know? Like, and I think what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, there's not to get too off subject, but there's like some sort of like spiritual hunger in America.
Yeah.
And there's also like really, like this notion of we're all in it together is more and more just by the wayside.
Yeah, exactly.
And so people feel like a hunger for community, right? I mean, church attendance is down, mm-hmm. all these things, you know? So like jiu-jitsu speaks to all those things and it makes you strong and it feels good. But, you know, like I think what people need to realize is just like, why soldiers in war are so, well, not the same. I mean, it's not as intense, but, you know, the lesson is camaraderie is built through shared experience.
Right.
So if you've not yet shared the experience, you're not one of the guys.
Exactly.
You know, And so when people call, and there's
some people never had that.
Some people never had that. Yeah. You know, and, but there's like, there's a lot of folks that just call me like, ah, or like call the line. Like this guy called the line. He wanted to talk to me for like an hour, you know, and he went online and he ordered a gi and he never showed up to pick it up.
Damn.
I still have his gi. You know, it was $100. He never came to pick it up.
You should just mention that dude every once in a while. Like, hey, man, whenever you're ready, we got it.
Well, what you know what? I sent him a message. Be like, dude, like, at least let me give me your address. Let me ship it to you at least, you know, because it was just, it was checked like pickup because he was going to come in and he never came.
Wow.
You know, I was like, dude, like, let me at least, because I'm a new business. I don't want to get a negative review.
There's also,
you know what I mean?
Fear there, though.
Yeah, there's a fear there, right?
There is a fear.
Yeah. So, you know, you talk about like, how do you treat different people that come into the gym? So, like, there's like a give and take. Like, I'm ready to, like, as an instructor and as a human, I'm ready to give. But, you know, you're not my buddy on the first day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I can't, like, this, if this is a vehicle for you to improve your life, that happens independent of, you know, like, you and I might become buddies and we might not become buddies. But what I can't have you do is offload all this emotional baggage on me. Mm-hmm. You know, well, because like, we've not yet developed a relationship.
Yeah,
right?
Between me and you, that's different because they're coming to the source and you're the head of the thing. But if you walk in that gym with me, I want to be your friend right off the bat.
Yeah, no, I mean, I want to be really people's friends too, but that takes time.
Yeah,
is all I'm saying.
I really do
have to spend some time with them, right? Yeah, exactly. You can't be a friend right away, right? Like,
I'm like all in, like, come on, hit me up. You know, that's how I'm like, come on, guys, let's keep the show rolling.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
You know, it's like any sort of relationship. Like, dude, I can't get all this invested in you if I don't know you're going to show up. I mean, the attrition rate is really high. I don't know if you're coming in. Well, the next day, you know what I mean?
Here's the thing. So, like, when I started at Casio's gym, I'm like, everybody, you know, let's be friends, you know? And Antoine, he's like, I don't know about this dude. And he told me, he's like, I don't know about this dude. We're driving to Naga. He's like, I'm going to be honest with you, Mitchell. I was like, I didn't know about you at first. And I love that. I love that shit, you know? Like, being real, I love being real, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, you know, we got together, we bonded, you know, had a good thing, and next thing you know, we're a team, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I could, that dude, he might be younger than me, but I look up to that dude, you know. Like, man, you know, he's real.
Yeah.
You know, I'm real in a sense. I'm real too.
Yeah.
We're just different. There's different reals meeting each other, you know. Yeah. Like, all right, okay, we both came to a disagreement, you know. Like, that's where we are. That's what we are, you know.
Yeah.
But he was like, I didn't know about you at first, and to tell me that.
No, that's okay.
A lot, you know. Like,
that actually makes you closer.
Exactly.
That actually makes you closer.
Yeah, we went to Naga together, did that shit, you know, enjoyed it, came back, you know. Yeah. I mean,
I mean, you know, like the thing that is, like, I can't pretend that we're family right off the bat, you know, and I can't pretend that you're my friend right off the bat. It's like, at first, it's. I'm not going to say a professional relationship because it's not an office type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean? But it's like I'm here to show you the way. Like, okay, here's the deal. Like, if jiu-jitsu is a vehicle for self-improvement,
I can
show you like some steps there.
Yeah.
But the pathway unfolds individual to you. You know what I mean? And so I think that I've just seen a lot of like real spiritual hunger like manifesting itself coming through my doors, and it's just like, hey, I need you to like actually not talk about it for a little bit.
That's on that person too, like,
yeah, I need you to just fucking keep it in the gunny sack and just keep your head down and show up for like 8 months before I really start paying attention,
you know,
to you.
It's also that type of person because I don't want everybody to know what baggage I bring with me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't talk about when I go to class, I try, don't talk about my job. Dude, don't talk about my family.
Be positive. Yeah, lift everyone else up.
I don't even take
that
shit to my work.
Yeah.
I don't even take what's going on in my life to my work, you know? Because I'm there to do a job. I'm there to be stand up, you know? I want to be a stand up person. I want to do everything correctly. And when I go to jiu-jitsu, I want to do the same thing, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's so important. I think when you're on the mat, there's like a group vibe, right? And it's so important to have like, to add to the group vibe and not detract from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be like, hey guys, what a great day. We all have, I mean,
it's not all about you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just think about it. To even be on the mat, you have to have some disposable income.
Yeah.
You have to have control of your body. Mm-hmm. You have to be in good physical health right. for the most part. And you have to have disposable time.
Yeah.
Dude, for you to even get on the mat is a fucking blessing.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think you have a responsibility to kind of like make that vibe, like a good vibe, you know?
Yeah.
Other quick points on the, I mean, that's my big point on it. Other quick points is like, you know, I think, like you said, everyone's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to think is like, I try to mentally map out my students' areas of opportunity. Right. So like I have students who are really like tall and long and skinny, mm-hmm. like really skinny. Like one of them is a rock climber.
Oh shit.
You know, like man, fucking strong in his own way.
Yeah.
Like strong exactly. in that rock climbing way. But I think not the best at exerting like explosive strength, mm-hmm. like that power lifting that, yeah. like, you know, like finishing a shot, mm-hmm. you know?
That's me.
Yeah. yeah
I don't finish shit, man.
And so, and you know, for me, it's kind of like I pull them aside. It's like, hey, you know, maybe for you, like in, like they say in education, like individual education plan, you mm-hmm. know, like you maybe are really good in this one area. Maybe you should think about on your own if you have time, you know, not mandatory. But add in, try and do some explosive.
You're
movements.
Really watching the dudes though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. you're like, you're pinpointing, you're I'm breaking watching. Them down. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got another guy, you know, Jeremy, 220 pounds, 5'8", you know, it's like, hey, you're very explosive. Mm-hmm. You're very explosive. You're a wrestler. Your clinch is strong, but maybe for you, you know, your gut's in the way mm-hmm. for some of these, you know, for the inversions.
Yeah.
Maybe for you, long form cardio, you know, mm-hmm. set the treadmill to 45 minutes and just go, brother, three times a week, you know, and then other people, you know, other people, other things, right? It's like, you know, you, I don't know how to tell you, you're a knucklehead. You know, just calm down.
yeah, calm
you know?
Down. That's calm probably down. Number one thing. Calm down, man. Yeah. Relax. Breathe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, here we go. Jason. Actually, we have another question. Mitchell, what do you think you would be doing if you didn't get into jiu-jitsu?
Oh, dude. Damn. Well, whatever my wife told me.
What are you running?
Because that, you know, she's the one that got me on a straight and narrow. You know, I was.
Oh, you're a bad boy.
Man, dude, the 209, man, it's rough, bro.
209's real.
It's rough, man. And I mean, luckily, all my friends, we all grew up. I have like.
If you took that sweater off, would there be some really gnarly tattoos down there?
No, man. You know, actually, I have my wife tatted.
Don't tell me there's a butterfly on the back.
There's a
the
butterfly. Dude.
No
yeah,
way.
There's a butterfly. Let me take this sweater off. Dude.
Okay. Where's the butterfly at? The
butterfly is back here.
Oh shit!
But that's because it actually happened,
folks. We didn't talk about this. It's just randomly a butterfly.
It actually happened at my wedding.
I'm just glad it's not on your lower back.
Oh hell no! No tramp stamps here. But actually, at my
dude, those shirts are awesome.
Oh, thank you. At my wedding, a butterfly actually landed on my wife's bouquet, and they caught it. They caught it.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah. So
that's super cool.
This is actually a picture from my wedding day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
cool. So, and is that your wife? Oh,
that's my wife here, man.
Damn, dude, you got some guns, dude. You're doing all right.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, you're doing all right. Boom.
Yeah, I got nothing like that, though. Yeah, but
that's just my genetic talents in my arms.
Yeah, no, man, my genetics are skinny, man. Skinny. My dad's skinny. I'm skinny. My
dude,
my brother.
You look like the guy from Apocalypto.
I never watched Apocalypto, dude.
Holy shit, dude! Everyone watching or listening, if you've not watched Apocalypto, you've got to do it now. There's no word spoken in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I've heard of it.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I've never watched that movie.
It's incredible.
And I like watching movies. I like, dude, I love junk.
What was the last good movie you watched?
The last good movie I watched. Yeah. Shit. Damn.
Okay, dude, fuck that. What's like, give me a couple of your favorite movies here.
Oh, dude. It varies. It's big ranges. Dude. It's mostly comedy. I love comedies, dude.
Okay.
So like, one of my favorite movies is like, I mean, like Talladega Nights, Hot Rod.
Yeah.
I like Grease, the movie. Yeah, I love that shit, dude. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I like Heat, fun, yeah. you know.
Dude, I was about to say Heat.
Yeah, Heat. That's a great movie.
Heat's
you know?
Fucking amazing.
So it's all over the place, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From musicals to comedies, I love it all. Dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I actually like when I was in high school, I like, took drama classes and you know, shit like that.
No shit.
Know? Yeah.
Okay.
Fucking,
cool.
I like music a lot, dude.
Drama.
Yeah, I did art when I was in school. I used to draw a lot, you know.
I can see that. Yeah, like, so. Those Mexican taggers.
Oh, dude, yeah, for sure,
the clown,
man.
The clown faces
not,
and shit.
Not that. I never went that route, man. My boys were hitting up bombs and shit like that, you know. Like, they were into that shit, you know. But, you know.
Did you ever get into graffiti?
No, nah, I never did. I mostly just pencil paper, you know. My boys were all heavy into graffiti.
Yeah.
All my buddies were, like, all B-boys and the gang members, you know, and rappers. It was weird, you know. That's how I grew up.
Yeah.
So, and it's weird because my mom was like a teacher. She worked. She was a teacher in the medical. It was hard, dude. Like my
Jason says, you're a DJ.
I used to do a little bit of DJing back in the
shit.
Day. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Most of the MC though. I used to rap and shit. It's kind of weird, dude.
No shit.
I'm telling you, dude. Okay. It's like a Forrest Gump movie.
Do you ever think about resurrecting that or what?
Dude, get me drunk enough. I'm kicking some flows, yeah. Yeah, but yeah, no, man. I live a crazy life. Like not like I did crazy shit, but
no. That's like,
if I had to put it on paper, it'd be. You wouldn't know if it was a comedy or if it was a serious movie, you know, because we've been through some fucking shenanigans growing up, man.
Yeah, the 209, huh? It's real.
Man, yeah, it is, you know. And like, plus, like, my dad was a Marine veteran, you know, got Purple Hearts. My mom was a teacher. My dad chicken fought, you know, in and out of jail, you know.
You guys had chicken fights?
Oh, my dad is like a big time chicken fighter, dude. I know people are gonna get mad saying that shit.
He would fight the chickens?
No, he'd take chickens out of fight, you know. I go to Arizona, Copper State.
Are those normal looking chickens or are they like really big?
They're juiced up fucking roosters, dude, that come from like Spain.
Oh, they juice up the chickens?
Oh hell yeah, dude.
No shit.
Shoot them up with insulin.
You know what I saw the other day? I saw like workout supplement for pit bulls.
Oh, I believe it, dude.
I didn't know that.
My boy take his dog for a run. He's out of pit, take it for a run, then lap up creatine in the water, make it run until it got so thirsty that I just wanted water, and then give it creatine. That thing would get huge, dude. that's like in the late 90s, you know? I'm telling you, so fucked up. You see some crazy shit, dude. You see some crazy shit.
So they make the dog swim to get buff?
He put a tire on it, make it run. Uh-huh. Run blocks with a tire on it with a big ass heavy chain tire, then give it creatine. That dog was ripped, bro. It was ripped.
What was he using the dog to, like, just like
just for protection? Show. Or? Yeah, it was a home pet that he was wanted juiced up, you know?
Yeah.
That was back in the day, you know?
That's really dangerous to like juice up a pit bull that in that way because I don't give a shit what people say about pit bulls, man. It's fundamentally dangerous to have a thing whose mouth can open this big.
Oh yeah,
juiced up in your house. I mean, you're living in its house. If it decided to kill you, it'd kill you.
That's what I felt about a cat, dude. A pet cat. Yeah, cats are wild, dude.
I mean, if you stopped feeding it, it would eventually try to eat you.
I'm a cat person. All my buddies, they roast me. Oh, really? I have a cat.
You're a cat, dude.
Yeah, I love.
Is it bald like you?
Nah, nah, dude. He's a regular fat
like
cat.
Like a hairless cat.
No, my cat's never even been outside. I think so. I mean, really? It's like a part of the family. You know, it's been on more flights than some of my homies have. You know, it's crazy.
Take the homies on a flight, dude.
Oh, man. Some are scared. Some are scared.
I mean, yeah. If you haven't flown, I'm scared. I don't like it.
You know, I'm used. I mean, just between moving to Atlanta, moving back, I've taken so many down flights. I mean, I'm over it, dude. I hate flying. I hate the airport. I hate LAX. I hate, you know, it's like,
LAX is, dude, you want to go in.
It's like the Greyhound.
You want to go into Burbank.
Burbank is the place to go, dude. It is. That is the place.
I went into Burbank one time for a work meeting. And it was like a foggy day. And you know, like in Burbank in the background, they have those mountains. Mm-hmm. The fog was all low. So you could only see you could see like most of the mountain, but the tips were behind the fog. Right. And they let you out of the back of the plane.
Yeah.
And you're on the tarmac. Dude, I was wearing a suit and a hat. Dude, I felt like Casablanca. Dude, it was like, fuck, dude. Like, and dude, Burbank, it's the whole airport is as big as a hotel lobby.
Yeah.
It's so chill, dude. Like LAX is a fucking, it's a party, man. It's too much
like
going on.
It's like the South Central fucking Greyhound, dude. It's horrible, dude. Because when I was young, I used to take the Greyhound all day to LA all the time back and forth. It's horrible, dude. That's how LAX is.
Yeah. Jason says, Jabron, since you teach, have you had to adapt to people's having different learning styles? Because some folks are visual, some folks are auditory, some natural athletes, and some not. That's a good question, actually. Yeah, Heat is the perfect movie. That's actually a really good question. I try to actually incorporate a little bit. So again, the question is, have you had to adapt to different people's learning styles? Some folks are auditory, natural athletes, visual. That's a great question. I try to keep the actual instruction pretty minimal. Mm-hmm. And what I do instead is I go around and I check in on every single group of two.
Right.
Twice. Mm-hmm. Then we can move on to the next move. So my student Ashwin, who's also my friend, he said, like, you know, this is like, I drew a contrast, and this is just my personal style, but I believe in, there's a spectrum between good enough,
right,
and perfect.
Yeah,
right. And so like the Maxwells, who I have so much respect for, right? Like Davin in particular. Davin serves me up, dude. Like, you
Davin's
know,
a beast.
Bro. Davin's a motherfucker, dude.
Before Fight to Win,
dude, you talk about like, you talk about Davin. Like the king of the cholos, dude. Like,
Davin, man, you know what? I
love that guy.
Yeah, him and Terry, man, they're the
those
best,
guys are savages, they're the best, dude. Yeah. They're the best, dude. I mean, Terry helped bring Casio out here, right?
Is yeah, exactly.
But, you know, if you look at the, like when Davin teaches, he teaches Wednesday, Thursday at Ultimate Fitness, right?
Right.
And actually, you know, who was it that said something like this? This is exactly the thing about Davin and the way that they teach. I think it was Bryce or someone was like, we were like, does the hand have to be like this or does it have to be like that?
Right.
Like a really small adjustment, you know? And the person said, Well, it's knuckles up. And normally I don't think it matters, but Davin said so.
Yeah.
And so it's fun, you know, and the point that's being illustrated there is that the Maxwells are like, when they say do it like this, they mean do it like that. And then you're like, exactly like that. You know, like you grab here, then you grab here, then you go here. You're almost like climbing a rock wall. You know, you're going from this to this to that, right?
Those dudes are so good.
those dudes are freaking good. But, you know, for me, my teaching is almost like the opposite of that, honestly. I teach, and my buddy Ashwin was like, dude, this is almost like gorilla jujitsu or like jungle jujitsu. And by like what I believe in is there's a spectrum between everything you do to make your move more perfect and more technically sound, all the hatches that you batten down, all the grips that you get to, all those things that you do to make it perfect, make it fundamentally slower. And there's value in being quick. And so there's a spectrum between good enough to totally perfect. And a lot of times good enough will do, especially once you've got some momentum going in the role.
Right.
And you just take somebody. Okay. So like the way I try to teach things is like, listen, here's the big fundamental principle. Okay. Like I was doing this with the scissor sweep. It's like you pull their weight off their legs. Whether you pull their weight or they're naturally coming into you.
Right.
And they're trying to charge you. It actually doesn't matter. So I don't want you guys to think that there's one way to do this. The trigger is the weight has come off their legs. Then you've got one shin across their belly and you got one leg under their legs. Right. And then you just kick them through. Right. Push and pull. But I don't want you to think that it's done exactly this way, because the actual trigger is weights off their legs.
Right.
So in this static example, we're going to pull their weight off their legs and we're going to push them and we're going to pull them. And that'll result in the scissor sweep. But you should know that if they're a big, strong wrestler and they're just charging you, they're already doing the first part of the move for you. So just go. Okay. So I don't want you guys to think that it has to be done just like this all the time. A lot of times they're going to be giving you half the move anyways. Then you just go. That's the whole, that's the whole point of jiu-jitsu, is you're using their, you know, their momentum against you. So I keep it like really simple. It's like weights off their legs, shin here, leg here, push, pull,
right,
go. And then I go around. My rule is we don't move to the next move until I've checked in on everyone twice. Then I stop and, you know, do we have questions or whatever? But like, you know, recognizing that some people are more visual and kind of conceptual, that's, you know, there's always that, like, we bring it in. But then other people are hands-on, you know, like one way that I teach.
I suck at drilling, dude.
Do you?
I'm the worst. Yeah. I'm the worst. I feel I'm embarrassed sometimes. I'm like, oh man, please don't look at me. You know, I'm the worst.
You just don't like it, or
I just suck at it, dude. I don't know what it is. But
when do you feel best?
What do you mean?
When do you feel like you're flowing the best and performing the best?
There's moves
like during rolling,
during rolling. But there's moves I see, and I'm like, I could probably work that into my own style, you know. And it might be wrong, but it might work for me later, you know. Like, because I mean, my game has changed so much from the beginning to where it is now. I was always on top, anchoring down on people, because I'd anchor down on people to punch people.
Yeah.
So my base got solid.
Yeah.
You know, so I got a solid base, but now 98% of the time I'm on my back plane that quarter guard.
Okay, cool.
You know, so
like under the knee.
Yeah, under the knee.
I like that too a lot, actually.
I love it, dude.
Yeah. You can actually swoop in for a deep half off that.
I jump right into it.
Sometimes. Into deep half?
Yeah, deep half. Yeah. A deep half. And I like with pop their knee. I like when people pop their knee up so I can push it back in, you know?
Yes.
Because I love playing the loop choke from that position.
No, I don't play the loop choke from there.
Oh, but dude. And that's coming from something that sucks at gi chokes, you know. Yeah,
okay.
But lately it's all cross collar chokes and loop chokes.
Oh shit. Yeah, okay, cool.
But it took me a long time. I didn't even realize I was getting there until people started breaking me down. Yeah, but you do good at this. I'm like, oh shit, you're right, you know. Yeah, but I think it takes people to tell me what I'm good at, you know, because sometimes I'm like, I'm just playing, you know.
Yeah. I find myself in that quarter guard a lot for a couple of reasons. One is like, and if you're not a jiu-jitsu person, it might be kind of hard to understand, but it's like when you're kind of like laying down here and they've got their knee passed, but a lot of ways when they're trying to knee cut, their weight is kind of really committed, like almost like diagonal to you.
Exactly.
And it's like, you can kind of come up and take that.
Yeah, you can.
You can come up a lot, you know, unless they're like really like good about pushing back into you. But then when they push back into you, I get to just sweep them.
Yeah.
Or you just shoot in for the, Like you said, like the deep half.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that position is really overlooked.
It's good.
Because people think that like the person on bottom is losing there, but I feel like there's a lot there.
Because I can even pop that knee shield up hella high, and I can kind of control the distance. You know, I could grab the slate. I could take the weight or post, you know, yeah. I could hold it up. I mean, I didn't realize it until someone broke it down to me, you know, like, man, you're good in that position. I'm like, man, you know, I didn't even think about it. It was just where I was surviving because certain people were just crushing me. Yeah. So I go, I got to survive here.
Yeah.
And it became that place where I was just living in for a while because I was like, I could survive here, you know? It's just pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Jason's going crazy, huh?
Yeah. Jason's enjoying it, brother. That's cool. We got a cool little audience, you know? God, what else about teaching? Another thing that I like to do, I found this really effective for the triangle.
The triangle, man.
Yeah. It's tough to teach to like a brand new person.
Surviving or attacking?
Attacking it.
Okay.
Like even doing it. Cause it's like, okay, you got two legs, one leg's over the arm, one leg's under the armpit, mm-hmm. right? So you got like one arm in the trap, one arm outside of the trap, right? And so what I find difficult is kind of conceptually people understanding like, okay, you got to get one leg over the arm, and then you kind of got to like shift your weight to that side, mm-hmm. and then kind of break the frame, you know? Like, it's just a lot, you know? Yeah. It's just a lot to teach a brand new person. So what I've been doing lately that's actually really helps is I have the person who I'm trying to teach. It's a group effort because there's four people involved, mm-hmm. trying to teach this fucking person. They have the person I'm trying to teach on the bottom, and they're doing the triangle on a partner. Then I'm right next to them with a person in my guard who I'm triangling. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, all right, I do it with no words. I just like, I grab both arms and I pantomime it. And then they grab both arms. Like
wrist
they get
or sleeves?
It. What?
Wrist or sleeves?
I like wrists.
Okay.
Again, because I think sleeves, to grab a wrist, and I talk about this as like between perfect or good enough will do.
Right.
Right. To grab a wrist is just boom. Mm-hmm. But to grab a sleeve is like,
yeah.
Boom. And so that's slower, I think.
Yeah.
When the wrist will do, you're really just pushing it, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, I grab wrists for this particular application. So I grab the two wrists. And I show them, I pantomime it, and they're like, okay, I get it. We're doing no words here. Like, you know, so they grab two wrists. I let one go. Now I only have one, right? That's one I'm going to push into the chest. Then they push it into the chest. Then once they push it into the chest, then my next move is like, I open my legs. Then they open their legs. Then I throw my legs over their neck, or I throw one leg over their neck. Then they do it. And I do the rest of the triangle like that, where it's like, I'm doing it right next to them, and they're doing the exact same thing, you know? And that's actually been really effective. Mm-hmm. For teaching brand new people and kids, you know, but it's tough. Like there are some people who, my biggest challenge has been people who don't want to push themselves.
Right.
You know, where it's like every day it's like, oh, like I got an issue with this, or, oh, like my heart's racing, or like, oh, I feel nauseous, or, you know, yeah, it's tough because I know that they're just in a way like afraid of themselves, or just afraid to push themselves. So it's like, dude, like you have great potential. You're a fucking great guy. One of my best students, you know, shows up. But it's just like, all right, like, again, camaraderie comes through shared experience. You got to share in this experience if you want to be one of the guys. Okay. And I know that you can do it. You're just afraid to push yourself, you right. know? So that's actually been like, in a lot of ways, I feel like that's not my burden as a jiu-jitsu instructor. Like my burden is like teaching you good technique and
pretty. You can't cater to everybody.
It's just like you have to be able to push yourself. Like yeah. I can't get into the psychology of why you're not going to mm-hmm. push yourself. You know what I mean? It's like I create a good environment. I provide like good instruction. Generally, like I believe in really positive reinforcement, not negative reinforcement. Right. You know, but I can't get to the bottom of like what's going on in your head to why you refuse to push yourself. Mm. You're like, that's someone else's job.
Yeah, that's
someone
crazy.
That's, you know,
hey, can I take a leak real quick?
Yeah, take a leak real quick. No, go ahead, brother. We'll wrap up too and come back. But I got some announcements to make too. Rob Roy Anderson, Jabron, you're always promoting awesome t-shirts on your show. Serious question for your brother. Will you be promoting your awesome new ESAC BJJ shirts for the audience? Hey, Rob, thanks, brother. You actually mentioned in the earlier part of the podcast when we were talking about my electrical going out. You know, Rob, thanks for talking about that. Yes, sir. ESAC BJJ has finally made their shirts. It's so funny. Like when I first started the academy, all my students were like, we want shirts. And I was like, dude, man, I'm trying to get insurance for the academy. I'm trying to figure out the subleasing agreement. I'm trying to promote to get new students. We made hats because I didn't want to make shirts in different sizes. I was like, dude, I'm trying to do all these different things. And everyone's like, well, no, we want shirts. And plus I'm trying to like oversee the like actual the instruction and the development of all my students. And I think at one point, like my student, like one of my students, like, dude, like I want to be able to rep the school. Like, we want shirts. So I was like, fuck that. We got to focus on passing guard before we can, like, you know, like print shirts. But eventually enough people asked and I broke down. And shout out to my student, Jeremy Ostrich, who Gold Rush. Let me plug him, actually. Gold Rush Adventures. He owns a specialty travel agency. And the thing with Gold Rush is like, if you just naturally are someone who travels a lot and you want to get a good deal, they don't pay me for this, but I'm just saying, like, Gold Rush is the people say, like, if you're willing to, like, if you're flexible in your job and you can just go at any time, you look at Gold Rush and they tell you, like, when the best deals are. And so he does a lot of marketing for his company that he owns. So he took care of the logistics and the design for the t-shirt.
Nice.
Yeah. Have you seen the shirts?
No, I haven't seen them.
All right, here we go. The stream's still going, and we'll wrap up here in a second here. But let me show this off here real quick. Boom. Over here, the actual image is an artist, Chris Bones, and he's allowed us to use it only for our academy.
Nice.
Jeremy sent him a message, like, really nice. He's like, hey, we're a small independent school, would you allow us to use your beautiful artwork?
It's like that Japanese tattoo art, huh?
Yeah, it's like the Japanese tattoo art. It's the devil's triangle.
Nice.
Yeah, again, Chris Bones on DeviantArt, you can find him.
Oh, that's nice, man.
Yeah, isn't that nice? So yeah, we finally got the t-shirts going. Again, it's you can find it at esacbjj.com or on esacbjj on Facebook. That's so nice. Yeah, Rob, thanks for asking. Mitchell.
Yes, sir, man.
Where can people find you?
Man, you can find me at the Combat Conversation Podcast, I believe, on Instagram, ML Torres on Facebook, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, other than that, you catch me at Rene Found Jiu-Jitsu in Roseville.
Yeah.
That's about it, man. Five days a week. Yeah.
Hey, before you go, talk to us about the spirit, dude. Every time I see you, you're either posting about MMA or beer.
Oh, yeah.
This is some fucking top quality beer you brought in, man. Sir. What's going on here?
So this is a...
You're like a beer like guy, dude, man.
You know what? My boy.
Dude, this is like fancy shit, dude. Like, you know, I usually don't drink that much beer, but this is...
Yeah, this is
this is smooth, man.
Yeah, this... So I brought two types of beer. I brought a New England style hazy and New England style IPA and a hazy IPA.
Okay, that's a Smoke and Mirrors. This is the Northeast style.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a double IPA, man. Dude, this is 8%.
Yeah,
this I know this was from, you should have told me that.
I just came from Reno Sparks. Well, so
wild ride here.
I think the brewer actually came from Knee Deep, which is in Auburn. So yeah, man, I love IPAs and I love MMA, you know.
Yeah.
I love just talking about it, you know.
Okay, here we go. What's this other one here?
That's the hazy.
Yeah. And this one's 7%, you asshole. Right. Dude, you should have warned me. Man, this is Revision Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Guys, check this out, dude. This is pretty good beer. New England style hazy, India pale ale. And Smoke and Mirrors. Holy shit, that's pretty good.
Yeah, my boy Tony, who actually produces my podcast from the Mystery School podcast, he's the one that turned me up on all these IPAs. When I moved here, I was drinking weak ass beer, you know, like, which I thought was cool, you know. And then he's like, no, you gotta drink this. And I believe it's the hop, man.
Yeah.
The hop is I don't know if like people that smoke weed or whatever, the bud is the hop is pretty similar, I believe. So it gives you a different kind of buzz because like lagers, they have it's more a wheat than anything compared to hops, you know. So I think this is a better beer overall in general.
Yeah, no, dude, we gotta talk about that because this feels different.
Yeah, dude, it's a good beer.
You gotta produce the podcast on your own. What's going on here?
You know,
it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. My boy Tony, he's a musician, you know. He's working on some new shit right now.
Yeah.
And he's like,
he does the beats on the intro.
Yeah, he does everything, man.
That's actually really slick.
That dude is so good, man. Yeah. He has his own podcast. It's called The Mystery School.
Okay.
They're about to go into season 3. And
oh, cool.
Yeah. And now it's different. It's like Pink Floyd, but trippier, you know. He does live music. He's a musician.
Okay.
That's what got me into it. And he allowed me to use his Zoom in the very beginning recorders.
Okay.
Cool. That's where I buy my own stuff. But he masters and mixes it and puts it out.
Cool.
But yeah, dude. So that guy is something special.
Very cool. Mitchell, is there anything else that we've not covered?
I'm sure there's a lot we didn't cover, but yeah. It is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, brother. Thanks for coming.
Hey, man.
On.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. That's a wrap. Guys and gals. Yes.